Life in the kingdom is, simply put, is submitting your life to God's will. When you're submitting your life to God's will, you have life in the kingdom. You are experiencing life in the kingdom partially now and in full when Christ returns or you go to be with Christ. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is correcting how religious people, people who are church folks, read the Bible. He's saying, you're reading it and you're getting part of it, but you're not getting the full picture. And so this passage we're going to be looking at specifically, Jesus is not just saying, don't do this, although he is saying that. He's doing something more than just prohibiting and telling us not to do something. He is also calling us to something. And so that something more is what we're going to look at this morning. What is Christ calling us to? And I'll put it out there. It's to be an honest people. And so we're going to be looking at a couple different aspects of that passage this morning. So if you would stand with me. We're going to be reading God's Word. If you don't have it in front of you, it'll be on the screen behind me. Matthew 5. We're going to be looking at verses 33 through 37. Again, you've heard it said that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you've sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You may be seated. And if you would bow with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, this morning we come to you thanking you for our mothers, for them bringing us into this world, for the nurturing and the comfort they've given us through the years. I just ask this morning you would prepare our hearts to hear from your word, that we would not only hear what we don't need to do, but we'd also hear what we're being called to this morning, that we would have life in the kingdom, that we would experience life with you, that we would live a life that is more maybe than we are currently living. I ask that you would help us to be an honest people, that we could be taken at our word because we're honest, we're authentic, we're transparent. I ask this all in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So the passage we're looking at, I need to say a couple things about it, and then we're going to look at just 2 points from this passage. He is telling, here's what people thought when they read the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, and in a couple different places, it does say, when you swear something to the Lord, keep it. You better take seriously your word, and you better not lie. And what people had done, and there are a couple different interpretations and commentators said different things about this, but basically people had gotten to the point where if they wanted to say, well, I'm telling you the truth, they'd swear. They'd not swear by using bad words, but they'd say, well, I promise on my mother's grave, or cross my heart, hope to die, or I'm promising you by God, or by heaven, or by the temple, or by Jerusalem. I promise that I'm telling you the truth. And that's how you'd know somebody's really telling the truth, is if they would be willing to do that, they're really telling the truth. Or they make a promise, and the only way you'd really know whether they were going to keep their promise is if they made an oath. And Jesus here is saying, you shouldn't have to do that. As my people, you shouldn't have to do that. Now, some people take this as a prohibition against all oaths, and so they won't even swear in a court of law, and that's debatable, okay? I don't think that's what he has in mind, but some people go that way, and if that's where you're at, Lord bless you, all right? You have to sort that out yourself. But I think the intent here this morning is, what kind of people ought you to be? Because I think, just like the other passages we read, he's digging deeper than just prohibitions and a list of do's and don'ts. He's saying you have to be something more than this. Life in the kingdom is more than just not doing certain things and doing certain things, which is what the Pharisees were really good at. They were really good at saying, well, I don't do that. No, these people do, but I don't. And so as Christians, I don't believe this is a new list. Well, I don't do these things, but these people do. Obviously, I'm a person of God, and I believe in the kingdom, and these people don't. That's not what he's doing. He is calling us to something more. And I believe there are two things he's calling us to this morning. One is honest words. Our words ought to be, we ought to mean what we say and say what we mean. That's the first thing. And second, I think he's calling us to be honest with ourselves, where we can just be honestly humble. And so those are the two things we're going to be looking at this morning. Those come down to the two ways we use oaths. So I'm not just completely going off topic here from the passage. There are two ways we use oaths that tie into these two points. We affirm that we're telling the truth. So that's one way we use an oath. We say, no, I'm being serious. I'll even promise on my mother's grave or whatever it is that we have to say to assure somebody we're telling the truth. And so that's one way we use an oath. But as God's people, we are called just to have honest words, where when we say something, people don't have to ask us to take an oath because they know us well enough. They know that we're genuine, that we're authentic, that we're not faking it, that when we say something, we mean it. And we are telling the truth, that we're known for that. And two, we use an oath to affirm a commitment. So we use an oath to promise something. And so as God's people, we need to be honest with ourselves and honestly humble if we're going to start promising things. We need to know our limitations of what we can and can't promise, so that when we promise something, people can take us at our word. And so he's calling us for those of us that have life in the kingdom, to be honest with our words and honestly humble. So those are the two things we're going to be hitting on this morning from this passage. Honest words. As citizens of the kingdom, like I said, we have to mean what we say and say what we mean. We have to be known to be a people who are truthful. We have to be a people of integrity. And our integrity, being known as an honest people, or being not known, if there's a lack of integrity, if we're not known as an honest people, whether we're known as an honest people or not, affects greatly whether or not we accomplish the mission God's given us. So what we do and what we say affects whether people can take us at our word. And here's why it matters so much. Before we get into these points on the slide, here's why it matters so much that we are people of integrity. The gospel, Jesus, is communicated by words. Actions matter. Deeds matter. What you do to show somebody you love them matters. But you cannot communicate Jesus to somebody without words. And there's a saying that people love to point to. Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And it's attributed to Francis of Assisi, which is actually, Francis of Assisi's never said that. So go and do some digging on that. He never said that. People love to quote that. The problem is that's just not true. That's not biblical. There's a grain of truth there. Our words, our deeds should be backed up by our words should be backed up by our deeds. That is true. But you cannot preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, without words. But if you're not a person of integrity and people can't take you at your words, you cannot communicate Jesus to people around you. Period. If people can't trust what comes out of your mouth, how do you think you can communicate Jesus to them? You can't. Not in a meaningful way. And so if we are to communicate Jesus with our words, we have to be a people of integrity. Now, that means more than words. So you have to be a person who follows through on things. You have to be a person who doesn't play games and is two-faced. People in the church, we are notoriously known for being hypocritical, putting on one face on Sunday morning and wearing another during the week. We cannot be that and be an honest people. We could say, I keep my word, I always say what I'm true, I shoot straight. But if we're faking our way through the faith, we're just faking it. We're putting on a veneer of perfection when in fact we are broken and messed up inside. We just don't want anybody to know. We are not being a people that are honest. So if we want to have honest words, we have to begin by being honest with ourselves. And we'll hit more on this in the next point. But it begins with being honest with ourselves and owning the fact we're broken, we're messed up. You see, being hypocritical and being authentic, the difference is, the only difference, one owns their perfection, one owns their mistakes and their failures and the fact that they're broken, and one doesn't. That's the only difference. Being honest, being an honest people doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. It just means that you recognize you're not perfect and you don't pretend to be perfect. You strive for it. You want to be shaped like that because Jesus was like that. But you're willing to admit and carry yourself in a way that says, I'm broken. And then when you, that's where honesty really begins. And the gospel allows us to do that because that's the whole reason Jesus came. We're broken and messed up. The reason he came and lived a perfect life is because you and I haven't. And so we shouldn't pretend like we have. We don't rest in our own deeds and our own actions and our own reputation as if we built it with our own two hands. We rest in Jesus' perfection because he was the only one who truly kept his word. You and I fail all the time at this, whether we think that we do or don't. The truth is we mess up at this, whether that's telling a white lie or making overreaching on our promises where we just can't deliver on it because of things out of our circumstance, or whether we play this game of when we're around certain people, we put on a veneer of perfection. When we're around others, then we let them know how we truly are. The only way we can escape that is by owning it, owning the fact that we're broken and messed up, and leaning in Jesus' perfection and not our own. He frees us by forgiving us and paying for our brokenness by his death on a cross, for us to be honest and transparent and live as a people that are not afraid of showing our brokenness and where we need to grow in our faith. Doing this, trusting in Jesus, leaning on him, it frees us to be honest with ourselves, and then, and only then, can we begin to be honest with people around us. With a kind of honesty that carries weight. So let's start with these three questions. Are you known for your honesty? I mean, do people know that when you say something, your word is worth its weight in gold? Because they not only know that you keep your word, but you are a person who doesn't change from situation and circumstance and setting, but you are authentic through and through. Can you be taken at your word? And finally, this is the true test of whether or not you're living for the kingdom. Because there are people who take pride in the fact that they keep their word, but they do it to serve themselves and build up their own righteousness. In the kingdom, the reason why we strive to keep our word is to communicate Jesus Christ to other people. It's for him. It's for his glory, not my own, so that I can show that I'm better than other people. What do you use your honesty for if you have it? Now, that has to do with our words. When we say something, we ought to just mean it. We ought to be honest, authentic. But there's another aspect of oaths that we have to consider in this passage. Because when people take oaths, it's not just to say, well, I'm really telling the truth. It's also to say, no, I really will do this. It's to ensure a commitment to something, a promise. And so if we're going to be honest, if we're going to be known as an honest people, we have to do something that people hate to do in our culture. We have to admit our limitations. See, in our culture, we want to pretend like we're in control of every aspect of our destiny. We can determine whether or not, we determine our own fate completely. We determine what's going to happen, how our relationships are defined. We determine who we're going to date, how we're going to date them, what the boundaries are. We determine what the institution of marriage is going to look like. We determine, this is what culture teaches. The Bible clearly says that we're limited, that you and I cannot determine our own identity. To do so leads to brokenness and confusion and distress and disorder. We can't just wake up one day and decide we're something that we're not. We're limited. And so honesty begins there, that you and I realize that we're limited, and we have to look at life a different way. We have to see what we can't control. We just have to own. There are certain things that are beyond our control. We have to see where our control ends and God's begins. We try to grab a hold of things and say, well, I'm in control of this, and we tell ourselves this, and we try to use people and situations and resources to say, no, I'm in control. When really we're not. We deceive ourselves. I think a lot of us think that we're in more control of our life, our destiny, our family, our future than we really are. God's the one that's in complete control. You and I are not. And we have to be okay with that. We have a God who loves us and loved us so much that he put on human flesh and died so that you and I would have life. We can trust him. We can trust him. And we have to trust that he has control of things that we don't. If you're not willing to do that, you cannot live a life of integrity. Not the way that we are called to in this text. Because here's what that looks like. That means that if we are willing to admit our limitations and trust God, you and I are not going to promise things that we can't deliver on. We're not going to promise things that we cannot control. And if we agree to something with somebody, we let them know, look, I'll do this, but you need to understand, as long as, you know, the Lord wills, as long as an emergency doesn't arrive. We have to give qualifications as Christians, because in doing so, we're admitting we're not in control of our own lives. Jesus is. We have to be able to admit our limitations to other people. And a lot of times we're too insecure to do that. We don't want to do that. But you and I, if we are going to be a people who are known for our honesty, we have to do that. Because when we do that, it displays Jesus to people around us. Because most people today do not talk like that. They talk like they are in complete control of everything in their life. That they got all their ducks in a row, and their destiny is in their own two hands. And when you and I say, well, I'll agree to do this, but you need to understand, if the Lord wills, if something doesn't come up, if I'm not hit by a bus, if I'm not, you know, fill in the blank, because that's truth. And people don't want to hear that today, but they need to. They're not in control of their own lives and their own destiny. They desperately want to think that they are so that they don't have to look to anybody else, so they don't have to answer to anybody else, so no one else can tell them what to do. They have to be in control. But the reality is, they're not. You and I have no control whether or not we would draw breath 30 minutes from now. God and God alone has that. And as Christians, it's not scary, because we have a God who's faithful and good and loves us. And even if things go bad, he's going to do what's right and good for us. And we can trust him. We can trust him because he was willing to die on a cross for us. And when you are willing to own these limitations with people around you and say, I'm not in control of my life, I don't control the future, God does, I'll agree to this, Lord willing. I'll agree. And when you do that, it will create opportunities for you to talk with people about Jesus. Because we should talk and agree to things differently than everybody else in the world. Because we can be honest with ourselves and honest with other people, and we can own the fact that we're not in control of things. And that doesn't topple our self-worth. That doesn't topple the fact that our lives have meaning. They do. We have worth. We have value. We have dignity. We have purpose because God's given it to us, not because we've created our own. You and I do not have the power to do that in and of ourselves. And finally, the Word teaches that in the Sermon on the Mount, he'll get to this again, because this is such a big issue for us with anxiety and stress. Doing this is a better way to live. not only because God calls us to it, but there's some practical benefits from doing this. You will save yourself a lot of grief and a lot of stress, recognizing that God's the only one in complete control, and owning your limitations frees you to live a life of joy towards Him and to put away anxiety, fear, and things that will take away from your quality of life. Are you willing to own and admit that you have limitations this morning? That you're not in control of your fate? Not completely. You certainly have a responsibility for your actions, and what you do matters for the future, but you are not in complete control of your future. You just aren't. You can't will yourself to live another day. God determines whether or not you have that. Are you willing to trust God's complete control for your life? This is how we live as an honest people that have integrity. Are you willing to live this way for Jesus and not yourself? Because, look, there are a lot of people who take a lot of pride in the fact that, well, I'm a man of my word. And that's great. There's a certain level that's good there. But there's a difference between living that way for you so that you can be self-righteous, or living that way so that you can proclaim the righteousness of Jesus and His goodness and His good news that He's come to save broken people, which you and I are foremost. That's honest. And we don't have to play games with each other. We can be free and own the fact we're broken and messed up in this place. This is a safe place to not be okay. And it can only be that safe place where it's okay to not be okay if you and I can be honest with one another. This is not only a prohibition here in this text for you not to do certain things, it is a calling for something more from your life. Can you live in this new life, in this new way of living? You can, but it begins with owning your brokenness, resting in Jesus' perfection, finding forgiveness in Him, finding power in Him, because He gives you His Spirit to pursue this way of living. So you can't claim perfection. You won't arrive, but you don't have to stay where you're at. You can be something more. You can be known as a people who are honest. As we have our time of invitation this morning, I'd ask that you do some self-examination. Am I honest in my words? Do my yeses mean yes, and do my noes mean no? When I say yes to people, do they have to get me to swear to something so that they believe me? Do people have to ask you to promise or swear so that they know that you're really committed to something? Those are indicators that you are not living a life of integrity, that you are not being honest with people around you. And if you're not doing that, you're not being honest with yourself. You have to start with yourself this morning. So will you be honest before the cross this morning? Honest about your brokenness? Maybe you realize you've never done that, and you want to do that for the first time this morning. Be honest with Jesus and live a life that is pursuing integrity. You move as the Lord leads you this morning. I'd ask you to stand. I'm going to pray over you. I'll be down here. We're just going to have some music playing, and you respond as the Lord leads you. Lord Jesus, we ask you this morning that you would help us to be known as a people of integrity, not so that we could boast about it, not so that we can feel puffed up, but so that we would be better equipped to proclaim your goodness, your grace, your love to people around us, and they believe what we have to say because we're known for our honesty. I ask this morning that you would begin by helping us be honest with ourselves. Honest with ourselves and honest with you, Lord Jesus. That we would own our own limitations, our own brokenness, our own failures, and find forgiveness in your cross. You died to forgive us and to set us free. and you rose from the dead to prove that you could do this for us. Help us to walk the path of integrity this morning. That when we say yes, when we say no, when we make a promise, people know that we're truthful, so that we can be taken at our word, so that we can proclaim your word, Lord Jesus. If there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know life in the kingdom, this sounds foreign, this sounds like something they've never experienced before, I ask you would draw them to yourself this morning, that they would reach out and grab this good gift you have before us, that they would own the fact that they have life in the kingdom before they leave this place. We ask all of this in your name, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen.